We feel very needy of the Lord. We're very aware that without Him we can do nothing. So we desire His blessings upon the Word tonight. I'd like to start tonight with a passage of Scripture in the 35th chapter of Isaiah. Verses 35 and 35 says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. Though fools shall not err therein, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." I sure appreciate that the Lord allowed us to have this tent meeting here in Prague, Oklahoma again. We had it here last year, and I felt like the Lord blessed. And I've been anticipating being here. But to be here, I had to get here. I live in Greenbank, West Virginia, which I'm guessing is somewhere between 11 and 1,200 miles from here. And it was fairly easy to get here. Lord provided us with a nice ride, and it takes about 20 hours to get out here. And been thinking about that some. It was hard-topped almost the whole way out. Made it kind of nice, really. And I've been thinking, what would it be like to come out to Prague, Oklahoma, if there wasn't any roads? Well, it would have been a lot more than 20 hours. I got to thinking about the way. How would I have come? I simply got in my vehicle and started out a war path. A way that hundreds, if not thousands, if not hundreds of thousands have went before. Oh, yeah. Made it real easy. They built an interstate system in West Virginia. They started back in the 60s on it, building it. They said that Interstate 79, from Charleston until it left out the northern panhandle, eastern panhandle, where it goes, that it cost more to build that stretch of interstate than it took to build the whole interstate system in the state of Iowa. Because we live in the mountains up there, and they had to cut the mountains and fill the valleys. They had to bridge enormous spans of rivers and gorges. And in order to put that in there, there was a great expense to do it. Now, why would somebody go to the expense of doing that? Because the expense of not doing it is too great. Because what it takes to get in and out of there would have been much more
difficult than it took to bridge the rivers and to do what it took to do it. And my mind run on that quite a bit of late. I'm all the way live on the far eastern side of West Virginia. And there's the Greenbrier River, the New River, Kanawha, the Ohio, various others getting here that I don't really even know the names of great spanses of bridges and highways. In my youth, I think I could have probably easily went up and down and across rivers. I could have probably made easily hiking 25, 30 miles a day. I imagine easily, even in the mountains, I could have done that in my youth. Don't think I could do it now. As a matter of fact, I'd probably sit down after the first mile and a half just to consider the whole thing now. But to get here, to walk out here, would take me months to get here, I suppose, of diligent travel. But I came out with my wife and children. That would have made it a good bit more difficult to get here and bring them without any roads. No path to go on, no roads, to just traverse the difficulties that's placed in life that would be before us. It would have been a monumental part of life to do that. It would have been. It would have been very difficult to do it. But because there was a way made, because there was a construction of not just a way, it's called a highway. We have a highway to get on, and it's cast up.
That's right.
It's cast up above the stumbling blocks. It's cast up above the mire. It's brought up above the ravines and the rivers and the all the difficulties of it. The low places was made high, and the high places was made low. They was brought down even and level, and it still isn't level in West Virginia, but it's made passable. You're up above it. We didn't spin, slide, or get halted. We came at 70 miles an hour, a lot of it. Some places 75. We was able to travel and go because of a highway that was built. I thank the Lord for this time of that, to be able to traverse the continent, basically, and be able to be here with you. It's been made easy in our time. The scripture here in Isaiah was very poetic. This is a beautiful passage of scripture. And Jesus said that there would be a highway. I think of all those people that I have met and known, and how many people have been determined in their life to stay in the mire and the muck in life. This is talking a lot more important about how we travel in our physical bodies. This is talking about the way the Lord made.
Amen.
For our souls. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, if you're here today and you're given to this old world and you're given to its influences and its ways, you're in a place. And there's been a way made to go from that place that you're at to another place.
Yeah, that's right.
A better place. And the Lord made it a way that we could go. It's got power in it.
Yeah.
It's capable and able. This is a good way that's been builded by the Lord.
Yeah.
He said it'd be a highway. A few years ago, there were some young men in our neighborhood there, close by. And I understand the story that went this way. when their mother, I think it was, or grandmother, one, whatever they lived with there, when she would leave, they liked to fool with trucks, and they liked to see whose truck was the best truck, and they liked to go four-wheeling in the mud and those kind of things. So when she would leave out, they had a place there at their property. It was right by the main plate road there. And it went down into a steep hill and back up the other side of a steep hill. And down in the bottom of it, there was a big mud bog. It was full of mud down there, especially when there was enough water. If there wasn't enough water, these boys would make sure there was enough water there. And when she had leave, they had turned that place into one soupy, muddy mess down in there. And then they had called around for everybody and let them know in the community that they was having a mud bogging. And here people would come. Day in, day out, for a week long, people would come in there and people would gather to watch it. And I'll admit to you, I went up there too. They said they're up there a bogging and they're, see whose truck can get through. And they got some equipment in there on the other side. They had some tractors and I believe they even got a guy in there. He liked it too. So he got a bulldozer in there with a winch on it and they'd get revved up on the other side and they'd take off and boy, they'd hit that mud and spin their thing. And just about every one I seen would get stuck right in the middle of it. Mud up beyond the door panels. I mean, open the door and the mud was running in. And I'd watch and they was, folks, they looked like they was having fun. And the ones that was doing it would just grab a hold end of the chain and they'd go wading in that old soupy mud and get down there and hook that up and have mud up to their arms and armpits and they'd be covered in mud and they'd be slung over with mud and they was just a grinning. Hooking that stuff up and hook it to the dozer and took a long time sometimes to winch them and get them out of there and sometimes they broke the cables and oh, they just had a time and people would sit around and watch and I did too. I'd sit there and watch waiting for the next one to come and just amazed at it and watched it and there was a guy pulled up there and I heard gas. A guy pulled up there in a brand new big old, right off the lot, big old Ford truck. And I heard gasp around, and there was different ones said, "He won't. He surely won't." I heard it in the crowd. "Now, he ain't going to do that." Yes, he did too. He was going to show them he had the truck. He got her going and hit that mud, and there he was. Stuck right down in the middle of that big old mud bog. There was three or four guys in the truck and here they come crawling out of there. There he was stuck in the muck and the mire, stuck in that brand new truck. The Lord's done better than that for people.
Amen.
That was fun. I don't see anything wrong with it. I'm not even condemning it. I condemn the analogy of it, though. I really can. People play around in the muck and the mire of life,
right,
never realizing that this guy, if he had went down there, he come off of a raised up highway looking over top of it. I drove through there many times in my van and never got stuck up at all. I stayed out of that. And there was a way built, a way made for us to go through there and didn't have to worry about whether I'm going to get stuck up there. What was going to happen to the filth and the mire? Did it get in the motor? Is it corroding it? Is it corroding everything in my life? What's it doing? You know, people live their lives like that. There is a so much better way tonight for people to live their lives, and they're choosing the way of muck and mire, and yet this beautiful scripture, so beautifully written. I think this scripture was pertaining to the day of Isaiah and the day of the time when the children of Israel would return back. But this was a prophecy.
That's right.
This was prophetic. It looked into the day that Jesus Christ would come and set the way of holiness for our lives.
Amen.
That you and I don't have to live in the muck and the mire and the degradation of sin that corrupts and corrodes and causes us not to be able to live good, wholesome, and have good, wholesome relationships with one another and love one another and be value one another in life and see the good things.
That's right.
But it's willing to grasp a hold of the defiled, the ugly, the corroding, the corruptible. And live that way as if there's no hope or way out, but Jesus made a way. He cast it up and made a highway above all the filth of this world.
That's right.
Thank God that He did.
Amen.
He built a way.
Amen.
The Scripture says here, and a highway shall be there. And a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. Never will. It's two roads. It's two different ways. It's completely contrary to the way of the world. But what I really want to impress tonight is that, folks, no matter where you're at tonight, He made a way above it. He made a way. Don't cut this thing short.
Amen.
Don't cut it short. Don't be fooled into thinking that something less than godliness is going to walk on it. It won't. Because this is what it came to look over top of and to be out of. Sin can't walk on this way because this is what He made it above.
Amen.
He made it above the ways of sin. He made it a way above the fulfilling of this old flesh. And folks, listen. There has been people that got on this way that as I said, from West Virginia to here, no doubt there has been multitudes been on every road that I was on, proving that every one of them's the way to go.
Yes.
There's been people that got on this way and was successful.
Yes.
And proved that there was not one thing in life that this highway didn't run over top of. That this was higher and above every circumstance, every barrier, everything that came and challenged holiness, everything that came and challenged that you would say the flesh would have to rule this, it didn't. And it proved itself the way to go. You ever hear of a man? I think his name was Stratford, if I'm not sure, something to that, that wrote, "'Tis well with my soul." "'Tis well." You remember that? You remember what that happened, the story of that song? Here was a man that was devout, and he owned properties, best I remember, in Chicago. Yes, he was. He was a very prominent man and had great properties. And the great Chicago fire burned up his properties. He lost a good bit of what he had obtained in those fires.
That's right.
So, his wife and his two daughters, I believe it was, they were all going to go to Europe. And he was held back and they went and he said, "I'll meet you there." And on the way there, the ship that they was on went down. His wife survived and his daughters drowned in the sea. I've never faced that. But it'd have to be an awful big mountain to get over. And I think in my mind, as I know me, as best as I can know me, it looks like it would have to destroy me. I don't know how I could do it. But He did it.
Yes, He did.
He did it. He went on. He got word that it had happened, and he went another ship and went to go and meet his wife. And he asked the captain of the ship to show him the approximate area that the ship had went down.
Yes.
My understanding was that he wrote that song as he looked into that depths of that sea, his two lost daughters. He looked into there, and of all the grief, and of the storms overwhelming, and of the waves that come and roll in life, and of the things that we ain't humanly big enough to handle, he wrote, "'Tis well with my soul." He proved that the highway was big enough. It was high enough. The way that the Lord made of His grace was sufficient for this man in his time. You can't borrow that grace, folks. You can't borrow it. You can't fill up a jar and carry it with you. You can't backpack enough of it along with you. This isn't something the Lord gives before it's necessary to use, but it's on the way. He's promised it to be on the way of holiness. That when you come to that kind of grief and sorrow and heartache, there's a way. There's a way to maintain holiness, to maintain integrity, and to still have honor and belief and faith in God of things that you cannot understand. Who can understand? Oh, Lord, why would you do and allow such things in life? But what did he say? It's well with my soul. It's well of greater and purposes beyond me. Look at me. What do you think? You see something great? There's nothing great here. My cause isn't the cause that the world should rotate around. There's bigger causes than me. Much, much bigger causes than me. Oh Lord, use me to a greater cause. An eternal cause for people's souls. That man's experience resonates down in 2012 because we can still tell it of a man that got grace of God to live something bigger than him. You know what the Scripture says? There's a way. It means you're going somewhere. This man was going somewhere. And this is the road that got him there. The way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. You know what that's talking about? Back in this day, a wayfaring man was the man that came along. He stopped for the night to rest his head, and he got up the next morning and he was gone. That's who this is for. Folks, this world that we live in is a place that we lay our head down for a night. Too many people, that even those that claim the name of the Lord, think this world's all about gathering up all that they can get and gain of this world to suffice this time and this world. But the Lord said, this is not what this is for. This is for the wayfaring man. This is the man, for the man, that is at a certain point and he's going to another point. Then this is the way he gets there. This is what brings what he needs in life to his life, being faithful in his life to be able to come to the end. And what did Jesus say of himself? I am the way. I am the way. To walk in the path that he walked in. That one lifted up above the fighting and feuding, the carnal contention. Only by pride cometh contention. The fights, the warrings, the battles of this world comes from pride. It comes from self-willed people. But the Lord made one above it. For people to walk on, to be above all the carnal strifes of life. To be able to look and see greater purposes. Folks, listen, there's a way and a place for you and I to look down on carnal stripes and wife. You won't stop the other man. But the Lord instructed us to live peaceably with all men as much as lieth in you. I've had people say, well, it only lied into me to a certain point and then I gave him this after it did that. That is not what that scripture's talking about.
Right.
Live peaceably with all men means that you might, they might not live peaceably with you. You might not have peace with them when you get through, but you still do everything you can do to get that peace to happen. And it don't stop happening. Because we're on a highway. We're above all of that kind of a place. Thank the Lord. I heard a story in the last couple of years of a woman who was a Christian woman in a Muslim country. And because this woman did not cover her face up with a veil, a man got her and poured acid on her face. And it destroyed this young woman's face. Completely made it horrible to look at. I don't think I probably have the same, you know, let's pick a right word here, not vanity, but the same concerns about this look. It's what some young girl might have about hers. They caught the man and tried him. And he was found guilty. The punishment was acid in his face, delivered by the woman. Handed her the acid. Here it is. You know what she did? She said, I forgive you. I forgive you. Wait a minute. This man altered this woman's life. Made her hideous for humans to look upon. Altered her completely. But folks, here was a woman that was on the highway.
That's right.
She was on the highway because there's greater purposes. She was only laying her head down for a night.
Yeah.
That was where her heart and her mind was. And folks, she was on a highway. How easily will have actions off of the highway? How easily will allow ourselves to live less than the highway that God made us to live on. Above all of that. To be dragged down, back down into that mud pit. Do you know what it would have done for that woman to have thrown that acid in that man's face? There may have been a great sense of relief in the flesh to her. There may have been a great sense of satisfaction that he deserved everything that he got. And that might be totally true. But you know what she would have done? Forfeited the highway. She would have made herself in the sight of God just as this man was. She had become back down, wallowing in the flesh. I remember hearing the story of another woman whose little girl was abducted, molested, and murdered. I felt a tightening in my stomach just now when I told it of that horror. The man was caught, prosecuted, and found guilty. And by rights of law, this mother had right to confront him. And she did. And she said to him, I forgive you. I forgive you. For him, Yeah. But for her.
That's right.
To be able to walk on the highway of God. To be above hatred and malice and envies and strifes. To have something real in your heart that can't be changed by the things that go on around you. Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, was taken in all His innocency and purity, and He came to this world to do nothing but good, was taken and hung on a cross, spat upon, abused, made fun of, mocked and rejected. Nails drove into His hands and hung on a cross. And He looked down upon them that done it and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He said, I am the way. Folks, I think we take Christianity way too lightly. I think we take the power of God's grace way too lightly. I think that we take the passion and the desire of Christ way too lightly. What He done for us is above magnificent. It has been so falsely demonstrated in this world. Christianity has been so falsely demonstrated by those that claim to have it. That it has been mocked so much and been rightfully so, because we don't bomb abortion clinics. We don't drag people behind our vehicles. We don't fight carnal battles carnally, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Sounds to me like a highway, Brother Matt. Way up there high. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what He said. That's what He meant. That's what's capable and possible. And it's what the Lord wants you and I to come to. It works and it's real. Absolutely real. And I love this part. Though fools. He said, though fools shall not err therein. I've looked at that in different ways, but I think the true meaning of that is not fools in the true sense of scriptural fools, as in the sense of the fool said in his heart there's no God. It's talking about simple people. Without education, without upbringing, without any cultural advantage, no royalty, no honor. In every sense of ignorance, this is talking about this. And yet, this way becomes obvious to the very least. This becomes obtainable to the very least and the simplest of persons. It becomes understandable and followable and powerful and able. Brother Mark Sammons, many of you knew him, was my pastor for a number of years. I appreciated the man more than what my words could explain in the Lord. He was valuable to me in my life. You know, he went all of his life regretting the fact that he had no education. He was such a simple man. Many people said that he sure could butcher the English language. Well, I'm probably second to my old pastor. But he regretted that. He thought he could have accomplished so much more for the Lord had he had been learned and skilled with words better and been able to say things. You know what happened? College graduates called the man that never made it through grade school to ask him counsel about life.
That's right.
Do you know why? Because he got up on the highway.
Amen.
And because the simple can't err there, the fool can't err therein, it becomes obvious to them, it becomes powerful to them, they understand it, and it becomes reality until they can counsel the great ones of this world to a better way.
That's right.
The very simple. I remember hearing the story of an old slave man that knew the Lord. You all probably heard this. Old slave man that knew the Lord. The old master got in trouble and wanted to be saved. And he knew this one that he owned had a relationship with the Lord, and he come to him and, "I'm in need and I need help, and what should I do?" And the man said, "We need to go to the hog pen. Let's go down to the hog pen. You need to go to the hog pen in prayer." And the man wouldn't humble himself. "I'm not going to the hog pen. I'm not going that far." And he went away. Finally, things got worse and worse, and he come to the man and said, "I need help. What should I do to help?" And he said, "Let's go to the hog pen." And he said, "I ain't going to no hog pen." And he went away, and it got so bad, he come and he humbled himself, and he said to him, "Let's go to the hog pen." And he said, "You don't have to go to the hog pen. Right here will be fine. Right here will be fine." He knew what it took. You know why he knew what? Because he'd been on the highway.
Amen.
Because he knew what it took. What it takes to serve the Lord. Thank God there's a way to get from one place to the other. To get from where sin is, from where worldliness is where it's nothing but selfish, and get to a place in God. To a place in this life that's blessed. I thank God that there is a highway.
Amen.
No line shall be there. You remember over in one of the scriptures where the Lord sent the lions in on them? I think Judah had obeyed the Lord and he didn't send no lions down there. This is a place, folks, the lions are snarling and tearing and ripping and hunting and all those things. I'm going to tell you, there is a place. There is a place in God that the lion's claws don't get to. There's a place that the old devil swipe and roar and growl and do all that he can do as long as you're on that highway. There is no place that he can deter you at all.
That's right.
Where you get in trouble is when you're not on that highway. He said the lion ain't going to be there. And all those beasts that rip and tear, folks, what do you think that's talking about? You see anybody's life that's getting tore up? All these last couple years have we been bombarded, just bombarded by families being ripped apart. By the old devil taking advantage, and there's infidelity and people tearing and families and little children not knowing which way to go or what to do because mom went one way, dad went one way, this is happening, that's happening. The old beast is just eating it up, and he just tearing and destroying and ripping. He said it won't be on this way.
Amen.
It won't be there. There's a way. He can't touch it. He cannot rip at you and tear at you. There'll be a place that you can go on. And you know the old devil will roar and he'll do all these things. I'm going to tell you something. You live in this life, you know it as well as I do. You think everybody's going to speak well of you? Forget it. Just forget it. It don't happen. It didn't happen to Jesus and it's not going to happen to you. The scripture says that they that live godly shall suffer persecution. It just will happen. But there's a way above it. There's a way for us to honestly look and say to the Lord, "Lord, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. They don't know how to live life. Lord, have mercy on them. Help them, Lord, to see what's right." The beast shall not go up on thereon. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. In the fifth chapter of this same reading, it talks about the people. This tenth verse says, "And the ransom of the Lord." In the fifth verse it says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened." Who's going to walk on this highway? The ones with their eyes opened. The blind. Those that was blind. And we know that the Lord is a great healer of the body. I know that. The Lord's healed us. We haven't many testimonies. But there's a greater healing that the Lord wants to do to all people. And this scripture says that the blind shall see. And this is what the Lord really wants to get in. It is possible that those that don't see. I'm amazed at the intelligence of our world and how little they can see. I can look and see obvious things, obvious paths, obvious things that if you do that, what's going to happen? And people run dead onto it without care or concern because they don't see. And the Lord wants to, He wants to change that. Alter it. And give people vision. The vision to be able to see and to understand what life is really all about and what you do. And then they go on blinded. Like they can't see anything. It's true, they are blinded. They can't see anything. How far do you think you could see? That guy that got in that Ford truck and he hit that big mud hole and he sumped that thing completely over the tires and there he stuck. That mud come right up over top of that windshield, covered the windshield, covered his windows. He's down there in a hole. I'm going to tell you, it's up straight ahead and it's up backwards. And it was up to the left, that's the right, and it's up to the left. Up to the right, up to the left. That was one hole down in there, and it was up everywhere you look. How far do you think he could see? Not very far. I was up on the highway. I could see everything he was doing. I could see everything his buddies was doing. I could see everything that the crowd was doing. I could see how to get out of there. I could see how to go home. I could see the people coming from a long distance and leaving from a long distance because I was up on the highway. And that's what the Lord wants to get to you tonight. Vision and understandings. To know and to realize and to know who you are and what you was created for and what your duty is and how to be happy. He made us to be that way.
The eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped.
Be able to hear. And listen, to understand, that means to take in information, to be able to hear again. The Lord said it many times, that having eyes to see, they can't see, and ears to hear, but they can't understand. It can't get in there. You know, the Lord wants to put you up into a place that you can see it clearly.
Amen.
And I know what a lot of people says right here at this point. They say, I sure would like to be able to understand my wife better. I wish that I could understand my husband better. I sure wish I could understand that person in the congregation that just tries me so much. Well, let's just look at it a little bit different. Lord, help me to see me. That's what the highway's for. So that I can understand me. You know, the things that the Lord allows to come into my life is always a lesson to me. On this highway. It always teaches me something. I look and see the things in life. My wife and I have said on a number of occasions when people have done things that we said, ouch, to. You know what we say? Thank you, Jesus. I just learned a little better how not to treat people. And I'm going to remember that that hurt. And I'm going to remember that I'll never do that to my fellow man. Help me to see me. Help me to understand me. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert.
This whole language is about bringing more to your life than dryness. More to your life than mediocrity. More to your life than just saying, I'm a Christian that goes to service on a regular basis. But I'm in a life with the Lord. And in a place higher. above this world. That my Christianity is proved regularly to me. The grace of God is proved regularly to me because it proves regularly to me that the old man is gone and the new one's there. That I'm not in the muck anymore, in the mire. The old man would have thought this way, but the new one never would. The old man would see it only what I can gain, but the new one sees how I can help somebody to heaven. I see it so much brighter and clearer. And I see a purpose in my life because God made me to do something. To be something. To go somewhere. To say a word. To do something. Lord, I want to be that. And do that. And to do that, I'm going to have to get out of the mire.
That's right.
And I'm going to have to get up on the highway. One of my favorite challenges of the Lord came when my neighbor, who lived right beside me, came over and we just got home from a trip, and he came over and really gave me a tongue lashing. And I had helped his grandmother, and every time she wanted something, I just would rush over there. I wanted her to know that I cared of her and we cared about her and that I helped her. Not one time in the years there did she ever say, call me, that I did not put my shoes on and go over there immediately. I never put her off. And then I come home and he gives me totally, I won't tell the whole thing, but it was totally out of reason. And it bothered me. It just bothered me. My wife just simply said, it was really good. She just simply said, well, we're really going to be praying for him. I didn't take it just that way so quick. I agreed with her, but something hurt.
Yeah.
It hurt. And I went to the Lord and started praying about that. It bothered me. So I started telling the Lord something. Lord, you saw that. Lord, you know the only thing I intended was good. The only thing I ever done was good. I never tried to do anything. All my thing was good. You know what the Lord brought back to me? The week before me praying, Lord, I want to be more like you. The Lord brought that back to my mind and said, you've been praying to be more like me. And I'm giving you opportunity to do it. And He brought to my mind, the language I used to the Lord is what He used back to me. Well, I only come to the earth to do good. I never hurt nobody. I never intended to hurt them. And he brought the language right back to me that I could understand. He's given me an opportunity to prove I was on the highway. Now, how am I going to feel? Resentment? Hatred? Get even? Vengeance? No. I said the same thing the Lord said. Lord, forgive him. Don't know what he's doing. And started praying, Lord, would you please make a difference in this man's life? Help us to stand there and be a difference. Just in closing, I'd like to mention some of the people that I've thought of that was on the highway. The scripture talks about a man named Stephen. I believe he was on the highway.
Yes, he was.
Preached a good Holy Ghost message to some folks and they started throwing stones at him. He did not throw them back.
That's right.
Life's precious. And God gave him that life. But they was about to take it from him. But he didn't throw the stones back.
No.
He asked the Lord to not lay it to the charge. He was up high in my mind. What grace this man had for those people that he loved and had ministered to. It had been one thing to minister to them, wouldn't it? About how God loved them and how God was there to save them and how Jesus died for them and all that he said, and he condemned them but said they was children of their fathers that stoned the prophets, and he told them and he stoned the Lord and he gave them all that. It would have been something if he'd have thrown them rocks back, wouldn't it? But there was a man there that held their clothes. That saw the man on the highway. And I believe that in time to come was going to be a monument to him. There was a man on the road. Lord, help me to be on it too. And Paul was. Paul was a man that went through many trials and temptations and places. He didn't throw the stones back either. He went on loving. They came to him one time when he was determined to go to Jerusalem, and the one come and prophesied to him and said that if you go to the Jerusalem, you'll be bound. And he said, I'm not only willing to be bound, but I'm willing to die. I'm willing to die. Why? Because he was up on the highway looking at a brighter and a more important thing. And you want to read a whole chapter of people that was on the highway? Go read the 11th chapter of Hebrews and the faith chapter and look at what those people did and was willing to do and how they went through all the difficulties. And the end of that was very impressive when it talked about some of them was sawn asunder and some hidden caves, and some of them would not accept deliverance that they might obtain a greater resurrection. Because they were wayfaring men. They had only laid their head on the pillow for a night, and they was up and traveling again. This world was just a place that we live and we go on, and they was looking for the eternal. Lord, help us tonight. God has used people all the way down through history, and they have done incredible things, but not in the flesh. I went to work one day, and there was a man there that I had known as a preacher of a certain religious persuasion in our area. Went to the coal mines. I was a surveyor in the coal mines, and he worked there in the mines. And I came there and saw him, and I said, well, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing pretty good. But he said, I'm praying God to give me the strength of Samson. Because if the men in here start picking at me today, he said, I'm going to take this lead pipe and I'm going to take care of them. Well, you can fight your battles that way, all right? And you might overcome. I doubt if you'll have Samson's strength, but you might be able to work a few people over. But you ain't on the highway when you do.
Right.
And I want you to remember that. You're not on the highway when you do. You've already sunk right back down into the muck, in the mire. You're down in there to where all humans come from and go. It's where they waller and live. Is down in the muck and mire of sin. That if you cross me, I'm going to cross you back. You do me harm, I'll do you harm back. In Jesus' words, I wonder if he meant that. You ever see these signs up, used to be up the road your ways? They said, towards Missouri anyway, that said, love thy brother as thyself. I meant that, God. Somebody put on a billboard. The Lord said that when somebody persecuted you, what did you do? Pray for them. Somebody need prayer, all they got to do is persecute some saints, they'll get some. Because that's what you're supposed to do. And you know why? It's not about them altogether, it's as much as it's about us. And in closing, I want you to get a hold of this. The true love of God is not altered by events. Understand? Get that. The true love of God is not altered by events or circumstances. And if you're altered by circumstances or events, it's not the love of God. It's your own fortitude. It's your own human love, but it's not God's love. God's love is not altered by the circumstance or the environment or the persecution or any of those things. God loves us in spite of what we do because He is love, not because we are, not because we're worth it. It's because He is love. And when we have that love, it's because we are love. And we love people, and it's on the highway. And God made a way that we can do it. I believe with all my heart that we can love our enemies tonight. I believe it. By His grace. By His grace and way. There is a highway tonight. There is a way. The way of holiness.